Good morning, everybody. I felt the Holy Spirit say, bring the word first before you do anything else. And especially since things that were in my heart and then the way Josh prayed seem to lead themselves towards sharing something first. Perhaps God wants to speak into us before we express our praise to him. So I want to begin with just praying. Thank you, Lord God, for the day that you have given us. For Jesus Christ, who is our life, for the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who brings the spirit of the life of Christ to us. We honor you this day, and we pray that our expressions of worship today are glorifying to you. We ask you for your guidance, your wisdom, your impartation to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin with a quick reminder that we are moving into a season. I don't know how long it's going to last or exactly how it begins, but I think it's beginning towards a Christian renaissance. I shared the word renaissance with you a couple weeks ago, a word that the Lord gave me. Renaissance means renewal, rebirth, beginning, restoration, and it was first used in the 14th century in Europe. There was a period that lasted for 300 years, during which time arts, literature, sculpture, you know, painting, everything began to just flourish. And you had Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and others who produced these amazing works that still stand the test of time. And there was an excitement about it. It brought people together. There was a happiness, but it was all human. It was based on the raising up of the human spirit, so to speak. Shortly after that, there was a period of enlightenment, which began to denounce God. And as I shared last week, there was even a German philosopher named Friedrich Nietzsche who began to coin the phrase, God is dead. So I won't go too far into that, but just to remind you that God said, if there had been a renaissance, a renewal of human arts and culture, there can be a renewal, a renaissance of the spirit of Christianity. And I believe that God is saying to us that our Christian faith needs a renaissance. It needs a rebirth. It needs to go back to its origins. And as I heard Josh praying, the authenticity of our Christianity, the very roots and origins of our faith need to be examined again, that we are in the faith and that we're living according to those beliefs and acting out according to those beliefs. So, with that in mind, we're going to look at things that we have thought we thoroughly knew, but perhaps didn't know as well or practice as well, and we need to get back to them. I want to start with the whole subject of worship. I wouldn't offend anybody with what I'm going to say because I like to sing and to praise God as much as any of you. And I know some of you listen to what you call praise and worship music all day long, and I think that's great. But worship has never been limited to singing, never intended to be. So I'd like you to turn to John chapter 4. And most of you are familiar with this dialogue that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. And we'll begin in verse 20. There's a long dialogue, but I'm going to pick up in verse 20, where Jesus says to this woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, or you do not know how to worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him, because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman that Jesus was talking to was a Samaritan woman. Her heritage came from the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Samaritans were separate from the Jews. They had their own place of worship. They worshiped on different mountain. And so they found themselves in a separate state. And they did not have a lot to do with each other. But Jesus, who likes to bring people together, met this woman specifically at an hour in the day when she would be out there. and encountered her, and he knew a lot about her, and he also knew what would happen when he spoke to her. And he spoke to her about her life, and then he spoke to her about worship. She tried to distinguish herself from the Jews. She said, "Now we worship over in this mountain over here, but you guys, you worship over here." So Jesus said, "Nah, it's not about a place, nor is it about a time, nor is it about tradition. It's not about a place, come on, it's not about a time, and it's not about a tradition, because worshipers will form themselves into traditional acts if we are not careful. We will follow patterns, regimens, structures, and we get into a habit. And it begins to lose its power and its joy and becomes rote. And a service, which we call a worship service, could be just simply become an act of tradition and rote activity, and we begin to lose all of its real meaning, you know? So Jesus says to this woman, these are the things that you need to know about worship. Number one, God is spirit, so you're going to have to worship him in spirit. That means out of your spirit, man. Out of your spirit, there's a connection between you and God. You're going to have to worship him this way because he's spirit. And then you're going to have to worship him in truth. Truth is whatever is relevant about our Christian faith. Out of that truth, there's nothing hidden. Our agendas are not secretive. We're not pretending. We're not acting out. There's honesty in it. Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those who were condemning him, said, "You draw near to God with your mouth and your lips, but your hearts are far away." So it's possible for any of us to go through acts that look like we're honestly worshiping God in our daily lives, or even here singing. I mean, like Josh said, you can come in here and be plagued with all kinds of thoughts and trials and difficulties, and those things are eating away at your mind while you're singing a song. That's wrong. It's not fair to God, and it's not fair to you. It's not right. There has to be a release and a cleansing of our lives to get ourselves free from all that activity. Remember what Jesus said, "If you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business." The whole subject of responsibility rests on God and not on us. I had this little phrase come to me the other day. I shared it last night with Mike and Janae. If you obey Jesus Christ daily in your life, at all points, at all times, then the results are up to him, not up to you. You can be free. I did what you want. I'm not responsible for the results. The other way around is if you follow your own will, your own desires, then you're responsible for the results. Now think about this. Think about this. This is so important. Because if you're doing your thing, then the outcome depends upon your efforts, not upon God. He can stand back and wait. But if you're obeying God in everything, at every point of your life, you're free from the consequences. Not that they may not affect you, but you're not responsible for them. You can live free. Romans 12:1 says that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service of worship. The word there is actually worship. That when we present our lives, our bodies, because our bodies are the vessels through which we do everything. How can you do anything without your body? Everything is done with the body and nothing without the body. So we use our bodies to worship God with our thoughts, with our actions, and we are to present them as living sacrifices, meaning they never die. They keep being sacrificed over and over and over to the Lord. Praise his holy name. And then Josh, the reason I thought it was important to teach is because Josh said, we are tabernacles. I said, that's good, God. You have that in my message today. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says that we are the tabernacles of the Lord, the temples of God. We're not stationary. We're not brick and mortar. were living tabernacles, so that anywhere you go, imagine yourself being the temple of God, mobile worshipers, tabernacles of God moving throughout the world. Here I am, a worshiper, God. I'm worshiping now. Not that I don't enjoy singing, but let's face it, you can't sing your way through life, but you can act through life. You can behave through life. You can honor God through life. You can do all things unto the Lord. And all of that is worship. And you can sing along at the same time if you desire. My point is, we have got to release ourselves from the limitations of what worship is. And finally, Jesus said this. He's not looking for worship, the Father. He's looking for worshipers. Worshipers are different than just somebody who will worship from time to time. It's your daily life. Jesus took the Jews back to their origins, and now he's taking us back to our origins. That worship is everything. It's the behavior of the believer, the child, before the Father, to honor him in everything we do. Let's pray. Lord, I was thinking last night while we were celebrating Kiara and Jonah's wedding, how much fun it is to dance. And at my age, dancing is a living sacrifice. As much as I wanted to do it, I was out there when it was all over with. I went home feeling like a crippled. I'm better today. But I watched the younger people dance their hearts out with joy and genuine expressions of freedom and love. And I said, you know, that's where we should live, in that kind of joy and exuberance and freedom and liberty, to honor the Lord, just as we dance before one another in celebration. We can live our lives as a dance before the Lord, celebrating his life in us, because he lives and dwells in us. And I praise him for that. Heavenly Father, we are moving away from the structures that men have made, and consequently the results of the structures are up to men and not up to you. And we are moving into a season where there's a liberty in our lives, a freedom, a flowing, a fluidity of life, that a worshiper is somebody who lives a worshipful life, not just singing and praising psalms to you, but honoring and obeying you throughout the day. This is reasonable service as we present our lives to you, our very bodies. We thank you, Lord, that this transition is going to change the church from people who go to worship to people who are true worshipers. And we look forward to that end, that it will honor you and please you and bless you and make you happy. And we want to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I got a second word for you, okay? This past Thursday, I met with a group of pastors. I thank God that our prayer time has been restored. It got interrupted. And we were sharing. It's wonderful to meet together and talk and to share and all. And I shared with them from something that I taught this church back in July, which was from Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8. Would you turn there, please? Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8 says this: "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." In this translation, which is the New King James, it says nations. In some translations, it'll read heathen, which seems a little awkward if you read it for today. Like, who are the heathen? Well, the heathen are all around us. Heathen is a word for the unbeliever. You can work with unbelievers. God calls them heathen. The word nations is the word goyim, which stands for anybody who's not a Jew. So for us, anybody who's not a believer is part of the heathen world. Now, I wouldn't go out and call your coworkers heathens. It's not the best way to introduce the Lord to them. Although you never know, it might work at times. I could think of a few people that you have to say that to. You heathen? But you know what I'm saying. Ask of me, and I will give you the unbeliever, for your inheritance. Now you, friends, were unbelievers, and we have become the inheritance of the Lord. Did you know that? We are God's inheritance. I was sharing this with these pastors, and I said, I taught this a couple months ago, and one of the things that came to me to share was that all of us are the result of somebody praying for us. Somebody asked God for us. Your moms, your dads, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, friends. Somebody said, God, save him, save her. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Ask of me, and I will give. The impetus of this psalm is on God and not on us, meaning God brings up the subject. He introduces it. It's his idea. It's his origin to say to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to ask of me, and if you ask of me, I'm going to give you the nations of the world for your inheritance. Now, we know that this process actually worked. We know from the fact that Jesus knew who he would call to be part of his apostolic team. When he walked by Peter and John, he looked Peter and James, and he looked at them and he said, Peter and Andrew, and he said, come, follow me. He knew who they were. Later on in the writings of John, it's recorded of Jesus that he said, Father, all those that you have given me, I have kept except the one that was lost, the son of perdition. But every one that you gave me, I kept. And in Hebrews, we read the scripture that says in Hebrews chapter 2, look at me and the children that you have given me. I and the children you have given me. Meaning, Jesus knows that we are his inheritance for his sacrificial death. At the end of a death, there's an inheritance. And because of his death, we became the inheritance of the Lord. Well, when I shared this with these pastors, the place erupted. They fell on their faces and got on their knees. And they started to cry out spontaneously, God, and they began to shout out who they wanted for the inheritance of the Lord. They started to cry out for ethnic groups. They started to cry out for neighborhoods. They started to cry out for individual members of their family and lost people. And they were literally screaming as they were praying. And I said, what's wrong with the church that it doesn't have that passion? That it doesn't ask God for the lost because he desires to give more than we even imagine. James says, you have not because you don't ask. If you want to see the church overall grow, we need to begin to intercede, to ask God the Father for the lost. Give them to us, O God, because Jesus in us is still crying out for them. He's still within us asking. Don't you feel that? I mean, haven't you prayed for lost people yourselves? What made you stop? What made us stop?
Distractions,
life, personal issues, trials, problems, desires. What's more important? You bring a salvation to a person. A nation is saved one person at a time. It's changed one person at a time. And if all of us are faithful to begin to cry out to God and ask him for the loss that we know. Now, these guys were praying for whole communities, cities, blacks, whites, Hispanics, you name it. They were on their faces. They felt the need. I'm praying for you right now that you begin to feel the need, the passion, the desire for the lost again. He is worthy of his salvation sacrifice on our behalf for us to do that. Why is it that we allow people around us to go unnoticed almost before God? We never bring them up before him. People across the street or next door, the guys you work with. When are we going to cry out for them? Jesus is saying this morning, the Father told me to ask, and now I'm telling you, start to ask again, and I will give. the Father will give. He is in charge of salvation. How is he in charge? Well, Jesus said, I'm going to go now, but don't worry. The Holy Spirit's going to come back and take my place. And he's going to do all these wonderful things. But one of the great things that the Holy Spirit does, John 16 and 8, is he begins to convict the sinner of righteousness, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So, if we ask, here's the dynamics, if we ask the Father, God, Father, I'm asking you for, you name it, the Holy Spirit then is invited to begin to gently harass the lost. I was harassed by God. I must tell you that. I don't know about you, but he had to harass me. He had to come at me through all kinds of people who would come up to me and say, you need Jesus. He would begin to work on my conscience. He would remind me of my sin. He would tell me, you're not living right. And he would harass me. I hope you are not offended by that word. But he's the hound of heaven, and that's his job, to gently harass us until we come to the point where we yield to him and say, that's it. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. It's all about you. And that will happen to these people who will put up a strong game face, all your friends, your relatives, whomever they are. You know what? Don't assume just because people are going to a church that they're saved. They're not all saved. You'll know who is and who isn't by their fruits. Of course you will. And I don't think there's anything more wonderful than to be harassed by God. I mean that with all my heart. When God starts to come after you, there's nothing better in all the universe than God coming and speaking into you, maybe through people, but always into your conscience and into your soul. So before we begin to sing and praise God this morning, let's pray. Let's pray for those that you want to bring before the Lord and say, I'm asking you, God. And then name those people. Name them. Name community. If you feel big enough to name a community, name it a neighborhood. Sure, it's possible. John Knox said, God, give me Scotland or I'll die. Now that's a bold prayer. And guess what he got? Scotland. The whole nation turned to the Lord. Well, if God will give a nation, he'll give a person. Who are those people in your life? Heavenly Father, we present you this morning with our request for the salvation of, name those people. We're asking you for them this morning, Lord. Come on, we don't have to pray silent prayers. I want you to be like those pastors who screamed out to God. Is there anybody that's worth screaming for right now in your life?
Father, I'm asking
Bristol Connecticut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It could be a person, just a relative, an aunt or an uncle. It could even be your mom and dad. Name them. Name them before the Lord. They're worthy to be presented before them, before him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're asking you to move throughout this entire state, city by city. We're asking you, God, to give us teachers, government officials, people in the media. We're asking you, God, for those who are lost, who are living in darkness and living and wallowing in sin and degradation, who do not know you, who are being led by the enemy, who have no hope, who are strangers and without the covenant. God, you know who they are. We're listing them before you right now. They are, hear them, hear their names, hear their groupings, hear them, oh God. We present them to you. Send Holy Spirit to them. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we ask in his holy name. Father, I've asked you for my neighbors, people across the street from me, next door to me. Harass them, God, with the Holy Spirit until they recognize that you love them. and want to save them. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. God, I also pray for those who are in ministry. There are some who are in ministry who are not saved, who are nothing more than social religious people doing the works that can be done by any agency in the United States instead of serving the living God. God, I pray that you sweep through the religious and begin to save those who are in pulpits even. Let them come to a realization that they do not really know you, that they got into the whole business of religion as a business and not a calling. Save them, oh God. Save them. Save them. We're asking for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for hearing our request. Thank you for asking us to ask you. Thank you. Amen. I pray that you keep up your petitions before the Lord. Don't quit. Somebody didn't quit on you. Somebody stayed before God on your behalf. Somebody loved you and wanted you to know the Lord. And now let's return the favor. Amen.
I was going back and forth with this song because I personally don't really like the music. I'm going to read the lyrics to you. If you want to follow along, it's Psalm 2 in your Bible. But since Pastor mentioned Psalm 2 last week about God laughing, and then today again about asking for the heathen, I'm just going to read the lyrics and trust that God moves with the song. But again, it's Psalm 2, but it's just to a song. Why do the nations rage and why do the people plot in vain? The kingdoms of the earth align themselves against the Lord and his Messiah, trying to defy his power and erase the word that he set down. I just want to pause there for a second. That's what people are trying to do. They're trying to erase the word of God. But he who sits in heaven just laughs. He just laughs. He'll warn them in his wrath, and he will say, I have placed my king in heaven before whom all knees shall bow. I have placed my king in heaven, king of kings and lord of lords. I have placed my king in heaven, president of presidents. I have placed my king in heaven. For God has said, you are my son. So ask of me and I will give the nations of the world. Ask of me and I will give you the nations of the world. And it repeats that. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What rises up against the Lord will come back to earth where it belongs. For he will not share his glory with another, much less with foolish men. For the Lord is God, Jesus is King, and no new trend or political scheme will ever amount to more than dirt compared to the wisdom of his word. For there's nothing new under the sun. Men just rearrange what's already been done. For God created the heart of man, and everything is under his command. So those who try to dethrone God, his word will stand. He will rule with a rod of iron and shatter them like clay. He will rule them with a rod of iron and shatter them like clay. Just like nothing, he'll set them down in their place. So be wise, you kingdoms of the earth. Be wise, you Hollywoods of the earth. Be wise, you rock stars of the earth. Be wise, you politicians of the earth. And worship the Lord in fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the sun, yeah, kiss the sun. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And worship the Lord in reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. And he won't be angry, for you won't perish in your way, for his wrath can't come at once. Happy are those who trust in him. So the lyrics are incredible. I'm not a fan of the music, but the lyrics are incredible. So I just trust that we worship according to Psalm 2 this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Praise God. I'd like to just say one thing that... you probably didn't realize, maybe you did, and that is this. Josh didn't know what I was going to share this morning, yet it was on his heart already that God had spoken to him about Psalm 2. So I love it when a plan comes together and the Holy Spirit orchestrates everything. Am I right about that, Josh? Yeah, amen. Thank you. I don't know if we could top this as far as worship this morning and praise. You know, this is the best. Yes, dear.
here's what I hear God saying right now. He said, I have the hounds of heaven. I have the hounds of heaven, and I have them ready to release. I have them ready to release. I'm releasing hounds of heaven. Tell me where to release the hounds of heaven. Tell me where to release the hounds of heaven. Open your mouths and tell me where to release these hounds of heaven that will gently harass and that will gently call the ones that you want to see come to the kingdom, come and fall on their faces. So Father God, right now, with that song that started to release, we call the hounds of heaven and we release them into Cheshire. We release them into our neighborhoods. We release them into the neighboring towns. We release them into Meriden and into Rocky Hill, into Southington, into Cromwell. We start to release the hounds of heaven into Connecticut, into all the counties and in the states around us. We command the hounds of heaven to go to the New England states right now, that they would right now even fall on their faces and worship the God who only is one and only God. The one and only God. So right now, Lord Jesus, we say yes. We say yes, and we command the hounds of heaven. You're releasing them. You are releasing them right now. You have opened the gates. I have seen these gates opened up, and these hounds are released. And they say, where am I going to go? Where to go? Where am I going? And I just pray right now, Father God, for Cheshire, for Connecticut, for New England, for the East Coast, for the Midwest, for the West Coast, for the islands, oh God. Start in the United States of America, that the United States of America come back to you, that they come back to you, that they turn to you, they fall on their faces and they declare who the true God is. From the top of the president to the bottom of the little newest baby born right now in the name of Jesus, we release the hounds of heaven. Let the hounds of heaven be released. Let them be released and let them experience Holy Spirit. Let them experience change. Let them experience the love of the Father. Let them experience what they need to experience, Father God, to draw them to you, to draw them on their faces in repentance, to draw them on their faces to turn their ways. Release the hounds of heaven. Release the hounds of heaven and go. Release the hounds of heaven and go. Release the hounds of heaven and go. Go to these places, oh God. Go to our towns. Go to our neighborhoods. Go to our places of work. Go to our schools right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We release the hounds to our families. We release the hounds of heaven to our families. We release the hounds of heaven to Eric and Megan and the baby. We release the hounds of heaven to Justin and Mandy and Cara in the name of Jesus. Hounds of heaven, be released. Be released, oh God, and draw them into the kingdom. Draw them into the kingdom, oh God. Draw them into the kingdom. And Father God, I pray that you break our hearts for what is breaking yours, our God. Put these people on our hearts, Father God. Put their names on our hearts and we release hounds of heaven to them, Lord God. Let us not stop at intercession because of distraction. Let us not stop interceding, Holy Spirit, for these souls who are in so desperate need of Jesus, for these towns, for these colleges, for these people who are in so desperate need of Jesus. We just release the hounds of heaven, Father God. If you're releasing them, Lord Jesus, you're releasing them and you want us to give direction. You've given us authority on this earth, and we just use that authority and we direct them. We direct them to the people, the houses, the areas right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and we call them into the kingdom. We call them into the kingdom and say yes, yes and amen, Father God, because that's what you want. That's what you desire, Jesus. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. So release those hounds of heaven, Father God, and we will be obedient, and we will be obedient, and we will direct them on where to go. Let us not let up, oh God. Let us not let up, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of the army of heaven, who is sending forth angels directed by his Spirit in response to our prayers to bring salvation to the lost. And of the increase of his government, there is going to be no end. And it is a government of peace. And we give you praise for that today, O God, for we look at your big picture, and we see that in the end, there is only triumph, and yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do not say, when will this awkward silence end? For it is in the silence that I am working, and I am arranging the responses to your prayers. Do not think that I have just ignored all that you have requested. For I depend upon, and yea, I have commanded, even foreordained, that all things would be done in prayer and by prayer. And without prayer, nothing is going to be accomplished. But when you pray, you must know that behind the scenes, in the realm of the Spirit, I am at work, even at this moment, even at this moment, in response to your prayers. And so in the silence, rejoice and give thanks, for that is the will of God concerning you, that in all things that you give thanks in your prayer, always, for I am at work. Know this now. Do not think that I have forgotten what you have prayed for, or ignore you, or that your prayers were in vain, for truly they were not. They were ordained by me that I would be able to respond because you have prayed. It is my desire that you remember that without prayer I will not, and without me you cannot. So it is always by prayer, and always by prayer. Amen and amen. I felt the Lord wanted me to read this to you. And it was told to King David, saying that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained to him because of the ark of God, or the presence of the Lord. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, only 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So that meant that he took off all the robes of the king, and he humbled himself like even a servant, and his joy was such that he danced before the Lord because of the presence of God. I believe the presence of God is here. Whether you dance in your heart or you dance with your feet, I think it's time to dance. Dance with joy over what God has done and is doing in the earth today. We rejoice, O Lord, over your presence with gladness and excitement. And we are dancing in the Spirit, in our hearts, and with our feet. Bless you, Lord. I think some of us were thinking about dancing. Maybe next week you will. Right? Am I right? Who thought about dancing? There you go. All right, that's the first step. The next step is don't think about it. Do it. Dancing is part of the joy of the Lord before the Lord. Amen? God bless you all. It's been a great morning. Do not let what God has spoken to us today depart from your hearts and your minds, okay? Remember to continue to stay before the Lord and ask him. Amen? God bless you all. See you next Sunday.